side is that she was saying, and then we were touring, you know, and she was really quite jazzy. She's become very, you know, Nancy Reagan, you know, she's become very refined and everything. But at that time, she was jazzy. And she was saying, and after this concert, you know, I said to my pianist, come on, let's go out, you know. And he said, but Landy, what about your voice? I said, oh, come on, you know. So that was what was so interesting about Landy, that at that time, she wasn't guarding it, you know, that closely. And she wasn't nearly the great lady that she has become. So, okay, but anyway, we do have to be careful. Okay, now. Okay, ready, set, go.
Can I tell you about this audition I went to?
Oh, I didn't know. Yes, please.
Well, I went to this audition last Sunday, and I was so proud of myself.
The one down beyond
Torrance.
Yeah.
Frankenstein?
Yeah.
So, on the way there, I didn't want to go at all. I was so tired, but I went anyway. And on the way there, I had the scene. So in the car...
You had gone before?
I had gone before, the week before, but I hadn't really had time to do anything. But on the way there in the car, I started reading it, and I read it into this thing.
And as you drove?
Mm-hmm. And I played it back, and I thought, gee, that doesn't sound too bad. Uh-huh. So then I thought, sometimes I sort of feel a little better, you know. So then I got there, and I went in, and it was obvious that the part of the fiancé I was too old for. I mean, that was just, I just felt that was true. So I thought, well, the only other part, really, is the mother. And I thought I was too young for that. But I put that down on the little paper. So I went into this room, and I was so calm.
Oh, good girl.
I could not, and it wasn't that all those other things didn't come in, but for some reason, I don't even know why, and I probably could never do it again. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But I just somehow didn't let it take over.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff.
Okay.
And I don't know why I didn't.
I think I'm going to tell you why, but tell me.
Okay. But I just sort of noticed that I was staying somewhat calm, and then I went in, and the guy said, I said, well, I really don't know which part to read for. And he said, well, why don't you try the mother? I said, okay. And so I was just... I had this little stool, and I sat on the stool, and I didn't cross my legs. I sat just like this. And the chest was open. I had this paper, and this guy read with me. And I breathed. I mean, it was unbelievable, you know? And so I did this thing, and then this director said, that was very good. He said, but now could you do it again? And it needs to be a little warmer and with a little more humor. And I just said, okay.
Good.
And just... did it.
Okay.
And very I just good, did it. Yeah. And he said, then afterwards he said, that was a very good reading. And he said, now could you come back at such and such a time? The callbacks, right?
Yeah.
So I went back. And I sort of waited in my car, you know, with my food. And,
yeah.
And I went back in, and then we went into the theater, and there was one other woman that was reading the same part, and she was much older than I. So then the next thing I did was I got up on the stage and read it with this girl who was playing the fiancé. And I did pretty well on that too. I mean, at this point I was starting to get a little more nervous.
Yeah.
But I did pretty well.
But that nervousness is normal. I mean, it wasn't your particular nervousness. It was anybody's nervousness.
Well, all of a sudden there we were. Now I had to go walk up on the stage and do this thing.
Yeah.
But I did it, and I felt fine about it. And I was almost sure I was going to get this part, actually.
That's okay.
And I figured if I didn't get it, the only reason would be is because he thought that this older woman who was like 60 should actually play the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't get the part, but I got a little further, you know? It's like...
You know what you do? First of all, I think it's wonderful. Did you notice that every time, step by step, it's a little better?
It's a little different.
It is a little different.
And a little more happens, and I feel a little better.
A little better and a little more in charge of it. I think this time, and I'm going to get a newspaper thing from the bedroom in a minute. This time, what you were telling me gives me the idea. When you said, look, obviously I couldn't play the fiancé, and I really am too young for the mother, but that would have been the direction in which I went. Did you notice how objective you were? That you were really seeing what was really there. Remember we've talked about what is really there. Mm-hmm. What is your life really like?
You know how I got to that?
How?
I had the scenes for all the women.
Yeah.
It was like one page each. There was a maid, which I didn't want to do.
Good.
I just didn't.
Not for that too much driving, exactly.
Well, it was probably a good part, but I just didn't feel like I was right for that either.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, is when I kept reading this fiancé part, it was like, I kept kind of going like this. I just kept sort of pulling away from it, like physically.
So you were really trusting your body.
Right, and then when I would read the scene of the mother, mm-hmm. it was like I felt more comfortable with that. It was like, this mm-hmm. feels more, and that's how I came to it, and that's the only thing.
Okay. So, you know, as I say, it's not that I try to say yes to everything, but remember how I say I teach in contradictions. What I say is, please go according to the feeling. And that's what you were doing. Your body was moving towards the mother, or it lived easily in the mother's lines, and it didn't live easily in the fiancé's lines. That's one thing. I'm now going to get that article, all filled with quotes. My beautiful former student, Ruth, saw, you know, some of this causerie on the, you know, the stuff, and she was reading them, and she said, you know, they're all perfect quotes, I mean, to teach acting.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that, what's her name, Diana Rigg, I think, did a book of quotes of first reviews that people had gotten,
mm-hmm.
and this is even more important. Okay. A dancer realizes an ambition. He takes in, let's see, Kevin McKenzie dances the role of a Nutcracker Prince on opening night of the American Ballet. Okay. He takes a realistic and unboastful view of the special status he holds at the moment among ballet theater men. He takes into consideration that Baryshnikov is still mending from knee and foot surgery, and that Fernando Buhonis is not presently a member of the company. He says, matter-of-factly, that 90% of these things happen by default, unless you're willing to slit someone's throat. Okay. So now, do you see how realistic that is, and how that applies to your life outside when you go? Though he sees the second act as more of a stock prince, in a way, stereotype, there's always something to be made of it. But he is aware of overdoing such a process. A lot of times a performer can overreach the confines of a role in wanting to make himself feel more comfortable or better. Overreach the confines of a role. So, I mean, that's just added. Right? Referring to his own previous experience in the role, he says, I think I made it much more difficult for myself last time I tried it. I think I found it so physically difficult because I was reaching so far for something that maybe wasn't there. So here we're getting, see my words, but getting it through a young person, your age, who, and you actually can see the way he began to realize these principles of attitude towards acting. In the environment of, now it talks about ballet school, in the environment of Day's School of Ballet, McKenzie recalls he learned partnering skills mostly by osmosis. That's what also we want, like watch me from me to you, mm-hmm. it's that kind of thing. Day, this dancer, put him through an intense period of work as a partner. She instilled in him a sense of relating to what you are doing and who you are doing it with, and why you are doing it at that moment. Do you remember when we talked in the voice class on Wednesday, when we said, listen to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
See, or when you're in a play, don't just see whether you can do it. That leads to isolation.
Mm-hmm.
See, but when, if you relate to the other person, that's how you become a really great actor. Not so much relate deliberately, so listen or watch the other person. That's all. The way one does in real life. You know, the way I listen to you, when you speak, you listen to me. We don't overdo it. But we're there. We know that we've had the hour together.
Mm-hmm.
When Mackenzie reflects on his early days as a dancer, he remembers, quote, terrible times with strength and stamina, and therefore with technical things, and as a result with performing. He sees his confident approach to the stage today resulting from a maturing process that came in part from watching other dancers. I had forgotten what this had said, but it's brighter than I knew. After noting that some dancers would work very well up to the end of a combination and then not deliver in the finish, while others would make a point of producing a notable finish even after an imperfect sequence, Mackenzie said to himself, let's just learn a lesson here. So he concluded, okay, I'm never going to be able to get it all perfectly, but what I can get is a through line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I give you that. Then he said, the image of, which is, by the way, what our lesson is today, the image of continuousness and linearity is something that allows Mackenzie to project a sense of comforting calm beyond the complexity of his material.
Mm.
Yeah? I mean, you just sort of get this simple sense of this is really what it's about, and you don't let the details overwhelm you. All right? The details, the complexities will really be there without your reaching for them.
Mm-hmm.
When you have enough life experience behind you, he suggests, you learn that it's what you do with what you have. There's nothing you can do about physical whatevers. I give you that, pink eye and all. Unity is a companion image. Unity, we talk about that, don't we? That consistency for Mackenzie's through line. The unity in the company's schooling, the British Royal Ballet, which he feels accounts for the harmony between its men and women dancers. Partnering must be disguised with finesse. Because if it screams out at you, you start to see the technical manipulations of the male keeping the female. The whole point is lost. Those are the secrets of the trade, and I think that's part of the art that so many people find fulfilling. On one level, they have to be able to relate to it enough to feel that it is not superhuman. But also, there has to be a part of it that they can't do. That's its expression. I'm going to underline that.
That's
I give
great.
You that. It's a wonderful thing for you to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, from now on, when you take auditions, go to it with a sense of simplicity. That know that the greatest actor in the world, look, Geraldine Page, is going to come with her shticklach. You know, it's going to come with her little mistakes. Plus that other thing that she allows to move into action. You're going to come with your little unreadinesses, plus that other thing that you already have. And that each time you do it, you're going to have a sense of feeling better in it.
Well, why was I so calm? I mean, is there some could I recreate that? So now I'm thinking,
exactly. See, I think that what I'm doing right now is Laura actually dresses are very lovely, but they have very stiff zipper pockets that cut into your skin, or the where it says made in England, you're cutting into your skin, and this one, and I haven't
see.
So. Excuse me.
You've already had. I don't mind.
Two little points. Don't try to recreate it.
That's what I figured.
Okay.
Mistake.
Let it happen, as it said in the article, by osmosis. Let it happen. Look, sometimes, for some reason, you're good. I mean, you can be the most experienced actor in the world, and that day, for whatever prophetic reason, mm-hmm. you're going to have butterflies such as you've never had in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get in there, and you're going to drag yourself out because it's going to be so lousy,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing you can do about it. I know that now. It's happened to me. Every once in a while, you run out of gas on the freeway. Isn't that so? And no matter how much you were to check your gas,
mm-hmm.
okay, it's going to happen one day. You're either going to say, oh my God, I almost ran out. no matter what. Think of auditions that way, mm-hmm. and think of feelings that you get suddenly that way. In that Laurence Olivier, do you have a VCR, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Next Friday night is a great performances on KCET,
mm-hmm.
and Amy Irving is going to be in Heartbreak House.
Mm.
Could you VCR that?
Sure.
I would love that because I have to perform next Friday night myself, and I won't be able to see it. And I was.
Where are you performing?
Yeah. I am performing at the St. Augustine's Parish Church on 4th Street in Santa Monica, and there is something called the Common Sense Foundation. In addition to the Friends of Nicaraguan Art, etc. And I believe Ed Asner is the MC.
Mm.
And I've been asked to read some Cortázar pieces that I've done in production and that are funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be nice to read. So, and this I really must say, you know, when you really do get asked to do a performance, and that's certainly political, I was really grown up enough to ask my friend who invited me, who's sponsoring this? You know, because I'm not necessarily for Nicaragua. I don't know enough about them. I'm not, I don't know that they are saintly. They may be thugs, for all I know. But I do know I'm against intervention, and I know I'm against giving money to the Contras. But I don't know how to get up there and say, I'm for this, but I'm not for that.
Right.
I mean, all I can do is get up there, and then my name is on the list of, she's for them. What can you do? But at least as a friend, I did get advice from two different friends. At least the woman said to me, I mean, my friend, another woman said to me, at least you're not kidding yourself. You know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you do and have to take sides. And I can't be friends with Cap Weinberger. I mean, so you have to be friends with your friends. So that's what I'm doing. But after much thought,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and then that night, and you're welcome to come. It costs $10, though. So you know.
I can't. I have to go to San Diego. Otherwise, I would come.
Yeah, but whatever. And there will be other performers. I think a lot of sort of René Auberjonois, who is going to Nicaragua, and Ed Asner, and they're. You know, sort of good liberals. And I say it that way because I'm a liberal. I always end up being a liberal. But I'm not really I'm not a knee-jerk liberal. I really do think, and lots of times, I hold other questions in my mind. And if you even say out the questions, the liberals will put you on a list already.
Yeah.
She asked. Therefore, she's one of them. Right. It's terrible. I mean, really, even the nicest people are really terrible. They don't give you a chance. They don't let you ask a question.
Yeah, it's tough to have a conversation.
It really is. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's happened to me a lot in New York, so I now know, you know, what that whole scene is. And yet you've got to, there's no middle road. I mean, you've got to just...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you don't know how mm-hmm. so you end up taking sides with the people. You have to take sides with them because you love the people, you know. I mean, I'm sure I love Ed Asner and all that. Let me think what I was going to say. About running out of gas on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think, let us say that feeling of confidence is elusive, just as the breath is elusive. If you try to work the breath too much, it's going to evade you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hide away from you. But, so you cannot... One of the terrible things about learning, when you get a glimpse of what it could be, you know, the ideal of what something could be, then you want it.
Right.
And that's what kills you. You can't want it, nor can you hate yourself for having performed without it.
Mm-hmm.
You can only sort of know about it, and little by little, one day it's there for you. That's all you can do. I do think what you can do when you go to auditions is to know what's really happening. When you have to say, I'm really right for this part, and I have 14 other people competing against me, and whether I read the best or not politically, they may choose someone else. That's real.
Right.
Okay? You have to say, if you happen to know the director, you can't put him up on a pedestal. He's not God. He's just a guy with terrible faults. You know, just like you have and I have. So you have to really know that person's shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Although at that moment, he is everything and you are nothing. Mm-hmm. And you can't even try, as another student, you know, to go up and shake their hand and say, I'm glad to meet you, you know, make it happen, happen. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. It ain't that way. But you can tell yourself, don't go below a 4.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, 4 to 7. See, I think that if you... See, I think all you can do is not wish for that lovely, wonderful feeling, but just say to yourself, 4 to 7. And that way...
Well, I must have been doing that at some level.
Exactly.
And I did voice exercises in the car, and blah, blah, blah.
Why not?
Those things, you know.
Why not? Some of that stays with you.
That really helped, because I thought, oh, I see why I'm doing this.
Good.
Because it seemed like that took a lot of the nervousness away, because it was something I could do. I could actually do on the way there.
Exactly.
Instead of just thinking in my mind and worrying or whatever. It gave me something to do.
Exactly. And that doing is real. It's specific. It means mm-hmm. that when you open your mouth, you won't be quite so tight.
Right.
And some of the looseness in the tongue will be there for you. And your voice will be lower. You know, it will be more settled in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And it will have more vibrations. Just that much more. Even though... the tension of the moment is going to raise it up mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. Another thing that you can do, which I would suggest, is the stream of consciousness writing before you get into the car, before you go to the audition. I've mm-hmm. told you about the writing, haven't I?
Well, not in that context.
All right. You see, I think that context is the perfect one to do it. Mm-hmm. So you say, in the most simple fashion, nothing fancy, because when we think gut level, you know, we don't think in fancy language. That came afterwards. You say, how do I really feel about this audition? Well, I'm eager to go to it. I really feel the rhythm of this part, and I know that if I'm given the chance, I can do this. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes, but you can even question, sometimes when I am this sure, it never turns mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to play tricks with myself. I'm not going to pretend not to be sure. I'd rather fail. You see how I mean? Really clean the mind out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then now you say, and now I'm ready to go. With whatever little manipulations you have done to yourself, little superstitions that you're playing out on the way there, so that when you're finally in the car, you say, I'm getting into the car now, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to go blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then when I pick up the script, I'm going to say, well, daughter, what have you been doing?
I'm going to speak.
I'm just going to speak, exactly. And you see how you can really just do that after you've cleaned out mm-hmm. all of it. You say, I feel as if I'm panicking today.
Mm-hmm.
Why have I got, well, maybe my teacher said sometimes I'm going to get a panic attack, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I accept it, I acknowledge it, I'm not going to fight the storm that's coming, but I'll just stand still and let it happen. If it's my day to be lousy, I'll be lousy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yet, if I possibly can, I will tell myself 4 to 7. So put it on the doorknob. You know, just as you're about to get out of the door, it says 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, it's not good today, but yet because I'm aware of it, I could have gone down to a 2, even a 1.
Right.
I won't. I'll just stay at 4 uh-huh. and not get the part. It's more important to me mm-hmm. to like myself having left there than it is to get the part.
Right.
Okay? So that those are the things now that you have a few more things to take with you
mm-hmm.
into auditions. Right now, I'd like to try something with you. We said, what would we do working alone together? But I know what I want to do. And it's based on the speech lesson that we had on Wednesday night. Do you remember when you did a number of things? I think it was a combination of the tongue being loose, the breath being there by itself, even though we had done a wonderful exercise to get it there. Mm-hmm. And the words, the vowels and consonants were in front. Do you remember that lovely quality?
That sentence?
Yeah, do you remember that lovely quality? Mm-hmm. It was, is that what your voice sounds like when all of these very fine techniques are coordinated together? Well, that's a pretty beautiful sound that you made. Huh? Away from the rather grating sound that you do have, which is not only a harsh sound, which could be very useful for certain characters, mm-hmm. but it's not good for you because it's way in the back, right? And there's a lot of grinding and grating going on. So let us, for the first thing, find the techniques that lead to a kind of soft, more velvety mm-hmm. sound. So we can almost say that that sound was beautiful, but we were not working for beauty that day. All we were working was to combine the right techniques, mm-hmm. the right technique of breath moving to word, tongue being loose, vowel and consonant in the front of the halfway mark, and the combination of those resulted in, etc. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can analyze in terms of gesture.
You're going to have to close the door. Because the
by all means, even the light, if that's in your way.
The sun is hitting the car.
Would you like to turn on that light?
Or instead of this? No, I think this
would be okay. I know why I said that. There was an artist that we visited in New York, Ray Parker, sitting in his studio. He had to have either all the lights on or all the lights off. He couldn't have two lights on and one light off.
Oh. I don't have that problem.
What I'd like to do is, let's see what we can come up with in terms of gesture and movement. And I'm remembering when we wanted to have a charisma, you know. And remember when I said it to you, be charismatic, and that you almost died, it was so terrible. Yeah, so now let's really go into the mechanics of that. And let's see where it leads us. Right? Don't do it yet, get the whole thing from me. I'm moving to the edge of my chair because it gives me room. Mm-hmm. On the breath, it's almost the same as the breath leading to the word she. It's almost the same thing. But this time, it's the breath going to move into the arm. And when the arm feels the breath, it's going to raise. It's going to raise itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. It goes like this. Could you see that one was absolutely connected to the other? Mm-hmm. All right, don't ask me how it's connected. All I know is that I thought of the breath moving into my arm and that when my arm felt it, it went up. Watch me do it without breath. Mm-hmm. What did you see? What did you feel when I did it without breath?
Well, it looked jerky on one thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't look it didn't look connected.
That's right. It wasn't part of the body.
Right.
It wasn't. Exactly. You saw it immediately. Mm-hmm. Good. The parallel is that when the breath doesn't meet the word, when the breath goes like this, the ship sailed into the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. What? Do you feel that same? The voice is jerky. It's grating. It isn't easy. So, I'd like you to do that now. I'd like you to and sit at the end and also move the chair away from that table. So clear, so that you have plenty of, just feel good. Feel comfortable in the space. Be where you want to be. Don't do a big number. Don't, watch. I didn't want to elbow back, shoulder back. That's not real. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was real was to get up and the edge so that your hand wouldn't bump into the arms. Do you see the simplicity of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other makes it important and makes it terrifying and makes it a lesson.
Right.
Good. Breathe out. When the air breathes in, see whether it will connect. One of the ways that, I assume you're going to try your right hand, one of the ways it couldn't, the right hand is underneath
right.
The left.
I felt this thing right here, and yeah, I thought, well, it's not going to move.
I know.
Okay.
And don't care if it doesn't.
Right.
Remember, we have to go through about 18 crazy things before it does the simple thing. About the air and the arm. That's all. That much, and that's all. Good. Okay. That was enough. And that time, it just kind of, you had to jerk it up a little, because you simply don't know. You don't know. So try again. Try again, but now keep the ideal in mind. Let me do it for you, and then osmosis. Okay? Just keep seeing it in the other person. If you were my baby, if I had born you, as my son Dickie said, she borned me. And you were around me all the time, you would grow up with hands being able to do this, but your shoulders would be very round. Don't ask how it got there. Just give a thought direction that the hand responds to the breath, and you know that the exercise is that the hand go up and down. I don't care if it's an inch away. Okay. When you come back, even though I say that's all, let it float back.
Okay.
Don't end the exercise here. End it when it comes back. The reason I'm saying that's all is that what we have to do is it's that first second that matters. Okay? And the first second is what you're trying. So it doesn't matter how many inches up you go. Watch this again.
The first second, I don't know what you mean, the first second.
Like this. See that first lift?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's something about trusting myself. See, I'm not doing it the way I did it before for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trusting myself so completely that I just wait till I feel like lifting it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the breath in there. It's going like this. I'll show it to you with my other hand. I go. This hand was almost what the breath was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Try that maybe on yourself. Now I'm guessing, maybe I'm wrong, but I saw movement. Did you feel a movement?
Well, that's where I'm feeling. It's like this, it feels like this wants to come out.
Why don't you let the elbow part come out? See, if it wants to raise from the elbow, watch this.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Look, watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Let it raise from the elbow. Because it was connected to the breath. See, I'm raising it from sort of here.
Uh-huh.
The impulse to lift is, it can be anywhere. The impulse to lift can be up at the shoulder blade, like, see that shoulder blade, this is elbow, this is wrist, or even tips of fingers. Feel it? It's just where my mind puts that extra energy. Let yours go to the elbow. Let's see what happens. Stop. Okay. Stop here and let it go. Don't end it, just let it float back. So it's new to you, and you feel that this is jerking?
Yeah.
All right. Now, what you have, you in particular have to remember, is that the arms have come a long way in staying still, in not twitching, and you, especially in fingers and elbows, weren't you kind of like this kind of person?
Yes.
That's right. So you see, there's a lot
at
fingers and elbows.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is based on the supposition that this has all quieted down.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and it really hasn't yet. All right. So that the fight in here is of the old memories,
mm-hmm,
of twitching and airlessness. And what we're doing is bringing the new of air through the hand, lifting it, you know, and putting it down. Okay? So it's going to be a while. Let's say that for homework, that you, again, once again, for you mostly it's that quieting down. It's the image of getting rid of that old habit. There's a nerve. You have educated the nerves. Do I know what's there? I don't. I'm making it all up.
Mm-hmm.
You have educated the nerves to go like this whenever you were learning something.
Mm-hmm.
Now what you have to do is, as you stay quiet, you have to send a message down to saying, that's no longer necessary. All I want is release, to let go of that, and be simple. Now, you can give that message in any way that you wish. But that's the gist of the message.
Mm-hmm.
So first try that. First, just sit quietly. Make believe you're doing your homework. And let the air come in and out. And when you come up with the message that you like to give, let me know what it is you're saying. Too hard. What did you think when you gave it?
I was thinking of cotton or something soft.
Good. Puffy.
White, puffy.
Pure. No.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful white cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And that did, didn't it? Quiet it down a lot.
I think it helped.
It did. Let's now just very gently go to the next step. Let's see if we can keep that cottony feeling. And cotton and air somehow go together,
mm-hmm,
don't they? So I'm going to think your thought. I'm going to go breathe out, fill it with cotton. Let's see whether that. Let's see what happens with that. Did you see how much less anxiety,
mm-hmm,
there was in that effort? That was very good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was. I mean, you didn't have to say, no, so I lift it, show it, lift by itself.
Right.
There was none of that. You just sort of took the image and you knew the principle. This is to float up and then float down again. So it took us that much time to recall that this elbow wasn't cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now I'd like you to put cotton in both your elbows,
mm-hmm,
and see whether it can go like this. See, the cotton is there as I breathe out. Yeah, and because I don't want you to work too long ever, too deliberately ever, to overreach, as it said, mm-hmm, in his article, what I want is for you to just think cotton as you breathe out. And by the time the breath comes in, the cotton is there. the idea. That's as much as you can do on that right now. That's a very great deal that you've gotten. So take that on and work with it. Now what I'd like to do is us to stand. Leo, does this not seem like a very nice design?
Uh-huh.
That's a two.
No kidding. Boy, that's amazing.
Isn't that cool? And look at this. That's that. She was a year and a half.
That's amazing.
That's real. Isn't it real? That design? This is what I just received. Amazing. Yeah, I think
that
so
really
too.
Is amazing. For
it says November, I don't know, designed by Rebecca Yoda. Architectural design. That's my book. So, I think she's two. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Seems to me that
I like colors too. I mean the way that
it seems to me that
it's placed, you know?
Absolute balance in that, and absolute inner freedom in this. And I keep this here because this is what I want my students to feel on the inside. That movement on the inside, because that came from that child's inner sense of life. It is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I hope she keeps it.
I do too. I hope so too. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll be around. We'll see. Yeah, she does have joy. She does have a sense of joy. Stand there. And with that, in a way, I don't want it to be as complex as that 1.5-year-old baby's little design, but to have that feeling on the inside. So we have two bodies. One is the outside body, and the other is that inside body. To have that inside body be totally willing to go in the direction that I'm going to go watch it. Did you see me do that from inside? Let me see whether you can do your version of what that is, the breath from the inside. Nothing happened. Okay. Listen, some of that was good.
Right.
Some of that was good. Could you feel it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what was good, and this is where I think it got stuck. It went, now watch this writing here. It went, see the stuff? See the stuff? And then suddenly, it opened up.
Right.
And when it opened up, you really went, just large. You were free on the inside. And then you got it to about here, and it never went any further. Well, in a way, you see, as you got down here, I think it locked. Perhaps when I don't know about you. I'm the kind of person who does this all the time. But perhaps you don't do this all the time. Do you?
Well, I do something like that.
What do you do? I mean, in joyousness or ecstasy. What is your...
I probably go... I don't know if I go way up, but I go like this, or I go like this, or
See, and it's happening. Every time you do that in pleasure, it's really open.
Yeah, I do that. I do that. I don't go up here, but I do this.
Okay, you must keep that. You must keep that sense of expansion and, you know, just sheer... nuttiness. Don't let you call it beautiful. You know, I guess say when it's nutty. So where you're getting struck is, as you get there, it's really pulled in. Let's see. And of course, we were working on that when we were auditioning.
Should I take this off?
Why not?
It is pretty good.
It's very pretty, Jen. What I think is that you really have a great sense of style. And I expect you to, because you're an artist. But I really love, I love all the pants you wear, I love the jackets you wear.
These are Grant's
pants. Well, I didn't especially love those. You love those?
Well, they don't have the right body for them, with the big shirt on.
But I love your shirt. Okay, I love your hair. I love your, and
right?
Yeah. What I want is this. Let's just see, very lightly know that it's there. Now, when you breathe out and the air comes in, it's and just feel that much. Try. Just let it open from the inside. Yeah, it's really not doing it. It has a funny little lock right there. And that's